Father, thank you so much for the precious gift of your Son, greatest gift you ever gave mankind. And we're grateful that we have the honor and privilege of becoming like him, transformed into his likeness. I pray that you will fill this time with your Spirit. May you be pleased with the truth of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I just wanted to say that it's an honor and privilege to share my Bible study and just really encourage the church and really stop and reflect about this gift that we have in Christ. I'll be honest, I had a different message. It's been something I've been praying about and studying for about a month. And earlier last week, I went over the message with my wife, and I'm like, you know, because what's on my heart is, you know, the transformation of becoming like Jesus. And I wanted to do an expository study on Luke chapter 20 on the tenants who murdered the son and the Pharisees not getting it. And I said, yeah, I want to talk about taking ownership of sin and, you know, they need to repent and their pride and all this. And my wife's like, honey, respectfully, she said, it's Christmas. I'm like, yes. And everybody needs to hear this, you know, and it's like, it's Christmas. Can we talk about Jesus? So I prayed about it and, you know, continue to pray, and I just tweaked the message a little bit. And then on Wednesday night, a dear sister asked me, what are you talking about so we can pick the last song? And I'm like, well, I'm talking about taking ownership of sin, and Pharisees needed to repent of their pride, and, you know, it's like, we need to learn, and blah, blah. And she said, Joe, it's Christmas. There are many people grieving right now. Obviously, the Spirit was working, and so I prayed about it. I want to, you know, she was like, can you keep the same theme and maybe use a character in the Bible to teach the same theme? I said, yeah, I could do that. Let me think about it, pray about it. So I have a new message. Amen. And I'm going to throw a little jingle bells into the message. Amen. The title of the message is Transformative Waymaker. Our God in heaven transforms us to become like Jesus. And he is the waymaker. He has the power and the miracle. He provides the miracles. He provides the promises to help us all individually become more like Jesus. Amen? And when I think about Waymaker, I think about the Israelites running from Egypt with Egypt behind them, ready to murder them and kill them all. And they come to the Red Sea. What are we going to do? And while they're going on this journey, leaving Egypt, they're grumbling. We should have stayed in Egypt. We were well fed. Yes, you were also slaves. God has a plan. And so when I think about Waymaker, they come to the Red Sea and God performs this powerful, amazing miracle. And he fulfills his promise. Amen. I want to talk about us transforming. You know, when we think about transformation in this time of year, we think about the Christmas Carol, right? Scrooge. This is a creepy animation. I don't like it. How about that one? That one's better. That one's better, right? What happened to Scrooge? You know, last week, my wife and I went to a Christmas Carol play, and then we also watched the movie during the week. It was a modern-day version of the Christmas Carol. And it was like, I love seeing the 1971 British version of the Christmas Carol. It's my favorite. But every time I see it, I'm convicted about what do I need to work on? What do I need to repent of? You know, and what happened with Scrooge? How did he get transformed from someone so grouchy to someone that was giving and generous? Well, the truth is, it was fear of hell. Put a little heat in his pants, and he woke up a changed man. He repented. But I promise not to Scrooge this message today. Amen? Not going down that road. But it's the truth. You realize, I need a change. And if I don't change, there's a bad eternity there for me. But I'm not going there. Who else was converted? Who else changed? The Grinch, right? Don't be a Grinch. You hear that statement right now, right? He had a little heart, and then he thought, let me steal all the presents, let me steal all the gifts, and they'll all be miserable. And then he realized, that's not what Christmas is about. The village was happy because it's about love and family and relationship, at least Hollywood's version, right? It's about the birth of our Lord, right? And what happened is his heart grew 3 times larger. What a transformation, huh? I want to talk about the transformation of Saul the Pharisee. Amen? Saul was one of the greatest persecutors of the church in the beginning. He stood there approving the murder of Stephen. That's Saul. But God transformed him into an apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ, seeking and saving the lost, serving the Gentiles, living a life in Christ to the point that he was in chains. What an amazing example for us to study. And that's what I want to do. I want to study out Saul's conversion. In Acts chapter 7, it says, while they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he had said this, he fell asleep, and Saul approved of killing him. Imagine that. Where's your heart? Where's Saul's heart? Approving the murder right there in front of him. That's where Saul was. In Acts chapter 9, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether man or woman, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. Wow. He was on a mission to seek and destroy Christians. That was the heart where Saul was. In Acts chapter 22, he comes back to Jerusalem. This is after he encounters Jesus, and he comes back to Jerusalem to plead with the Jews and the leaders of the Jews. In Acts 22, I persecuted the followers of this way to their death, arresting both men and women and throwing them into prison, as the high priest and the council can themselves testify. I even obtained letters from them to their associates in Damascus and went there to bring these people as prisoners to Jerusalem to be punished. This was Saul. He had a mission to stop God's movement. He was passionate about it. This is Saul, the Pharisee. But praise be to God that Saul had an encounter with our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? We all, at some point, encounter our Lord Jesus Christ through the truth of the word, not like Paul did, but we all have come to our Lord on our knees, surrendering our lives. Do we really need to have an encounter like this to be transformed? The Bible teaches us that the Word of God is enough. We don't need ghosts to help us become like Jesus and transform our lives. Here's Paul's conviction in 2 Timothy chapter 4. It says, "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." He fought the fight. This is at the later years, at the end of his life. And what happens? The Romans behead him. He becomes a martyr for the loss, for the Lord. He gives up his life and he becomes an amazing example. Saul the Pharisee becomes Paul the Apostle to the very end. And what an amazing testimony and story. 1 Timothy chapter 1, this is Paul with his conviction. "Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life." Isn't this awesome? In other words, Paul is an inspiration for all of us. He was an amazing example of a transformation that only God can do with his miraculous power. Amen? God is patient with all of us. No matter where you are in your journey and in your walk, whether you're going into Christ or if you're in Christ, God is patient. He wants this transformation to take place, just like Paul did. Can he not transform you? Absolutely, he can. In Romans chapter 8, and right before this, it talks about how the Spirit intercedes. The Spirit expresses our struggles and challenges. And then in verse 28, it says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified." Amen to this passage. God knew how you were going to respond to the cross. Filled with wisdom and insight and all knowledge, God knew. He predestined you. And he orchestrated everything in your life so that eventually you could find him and surrender. It says, "Those he predestined, he called." We've all been called. Everybody here in this room has been called. And then if you respond to the calling, repent and get baptized, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, you become justified, just as if you've never sinned. And those he's justified, you've been glorified. And our glory happens when we make it to heaven. Amen? We look at this passage, and this is it's an encouraging passage, but when we look at this passage, we see that God works for the good of all things, right? And we use that quote all the time. Because sometimes we think that God is working for the good of all things. This is a trial. This is a challenge I'm going through. It's tough. And then we think that the good thing that God's going to work out is a change in the circumstance or the situation. But really, what God is doing is leading you into Christ-likeness. the challenge and the circumstance that's difficult that we all go through, whether it's a deep character issue or it's whatever it might be. It's designed for you to stop and reflect, how am I becoming more like Jesus? What do I need to learn? What do I need to see here? What is God trying to communicate to me? In Romans 6, it says, Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey? Whether you're slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you've come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and have become slave to righteousness. This is a clear doctrinal teaching and direction that the Bible teaches. When we're not in Christ, if you're not in Christ, you are a slave to sin. And when you repent, get baptized, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, you have the power to overcome sin, to be set free from that sin. But something else happens. You become a slave to righteousness, a slave to obedience. And why do I read this passage? It's because we don't have a choice but to be transformed into Christ's likeness. There is no option. Yes, it's a struggle. It's a challenge. It's not easy. A lot of us have scars. We have deep issues. And we need each other to help us through this journey of transformation into Christ-likeness. But the truth is that we made a decision to be a slave to obedience. That's a clear scripture. And that blesses us with righteousness. Last week, I heard a statement, I don't want anyone telling me what to do. I heard that. Three things dictate the decisions you make every day. Three things that can affect that decision making every day. Number one, it's the world. The world can say, do this, that, and the other thing. Number two, it's yourself. You can make your own decisions because my heart says I want to do this, but the heart's deceitful above all things. It's not reliable. But the other choice is Jesus and the Word of God. Amen? Two of those three choices leads to death and destruction, and honestly, not life. I call it misery. A miserable life, and this might be strong, is one that's not in Christ. That's my personal opinion. That's my personal conviction. You can be happy, oh, I'm enjoying myself and I'm enjoying the pleasures of life, and you could have some shallow happiness, but true happiness, a deep joy, the wellspring of life comes from making Jesus Lord and becoming like Jesus. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it says, But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. God has given us the Spirit within us, the power, the strength, the promise, the miracle to get us through this journey, and we have each other to help each other, hold each other's hands, hug each other through this journey. And it's true freedom. Making my own choices is not freedom. Although God has given me free will. But when it comes down to how to live my life, I want to follow Jesus. I want to obey Jesus. I want to hear what the Word of God says. Amen? Because that's life. That's freedom. And God has given us the power and the ability to do so. Amen? Let me wrap this up. Three giveaways that show that you have forgotten that you are on a journey to Christ-likeness. How about some practicals? Amen? Number one, consistent resistance to serve and meet needs. This is just an indicator. It's something to reflect about, think about. Okay? And one of the key words is consistent, right? That word consistent means it's become a bad habit, right? If someone asks you, can you help me in this situation? Do you have a bad habit of saying no right away? Reflect. You're on a journey to become more like Jesus. Let's stop and think, how do I serve? How do I meet a need and be more like Jesus? Number two, the consistent resistance to hear the truth. This is a tough one. None of us here are naturally humble. None of us. We work on it, right? We pray about it. We ask God to help us to become more humble. But if you're consistently not wanting to hear the truth that you need to hear, you have forgotten that you're on a path to transformation. Do not forget. And number three, consistent justifications to not obey. Excuses, excuses, excuses of not repenting. Excuse after excuse really is a justification to say, I'm not obeying that command. Wait, you're on a journey. God has a path for you, a path to help you become like Jesus. The worst sin that was ever committed by mankind, and listen, there are no levels of sin. Sin is sin, right? But the worst sin or abomination ever committed by mankind was the murder of the Son of God. The very best thing that ever happened to mankind was the death of the Son of God. Only God the Father can take the very worst thing and turn it into the very best thing. Only God our Father in heaven can take us, no matter where we are, and turn us into the very best thing, Jesus. But the thing is, this victory for mankind, where the very worst thing became the very best thing, comes with the price. It came with the price. The Father gave up his Son, and the Son gave up his life. Do you think that this transformation into Christ-likeness will not cost anything? Absolutely. But it's worth it. It's worth being like Jesus. Your journey of transformation into Christ-likeness is a gift. So I will challenge you to reflect and pray about this. Do not grumble about the bumpy road of transformation into Christ-likeness, but embrace it. Let's not be like the Israelites, looking back saying, we should have been and stayed in Egypt. No, embrace this journey. Thank you.